Today we celebrate Jesus Christ as King, and it is the last weekend. Next weekend is the first week of Advent. And what I'd like to do as we celebrate this feast day is look at something that every king prides himself on, and that is his throne. For what is a king without a throne to sit upon? A throne, after all, represents so many things for a king: his position, his power, his authority, and his domain. A throne also speaks to the personality of a king. Literature can often go to great lengths to describe what a throne looks like. Just think of the somewhat recent series Game of Thrones, and that throne which represented power, might, but also conflict. And Jesus, as we recognize him today as King of the universe, is somewhat unique in that he does not have one throne, but many. And each one tells us something profound about him and what kind of king he is. And I want to argue that the thrones we will look at and that Jesus occupies work progressively for one singular purpose, and that is to be as close to us as he possibly can. And each throne he sits upon brings him a little closer to that purpose, because each throne becomes more humbling than the previous one. And I want to look at four thrones specifically, even though I think there are more. And one of the first thrones we see Jesus occupy is what we will celebrate at the end of December, and that is the throne of the manger. And how does this throne allow Jesus to draw near to us? Well, we get a clue from the prophets, which we will hear, who say that the child who will be born will be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. We can never underestimate really what happens on Christmas Day, that God becomes man. He becomes with us. It means that we no longer have to look to the skies to speak or pray to him, and he is no longer just some force around us. No, as St. Paul says in our second reading, Jesus makes the invisible God visible, makes him right in front of us. And he does this by occupying the throne of the manger. The distance for God to become man is one that we cannot comprehend. But the point is that now we can relate to God as a fellow human person. And just ponder that for a moment. All of us sitting here can relate to each other. We have very different stories, very different backgrounds, but we can relate to each other as human beings. And there's something that connects us no matter the different experiences that we have. So as Jesus descended to his throne of the manger, he immediately became relatable to us. We can now relate to God as a fellow human person. No matter what we are going through, we can relate to God and to Jesus and the very fact that we are both human. And so this means then, by looking at this throne, that Jesus is a king who truly wants to be with his people. There are not many kings who desire this. They build castles and walls to keep them separated from us. Yet Christ intentionally left the heavenly castle so that he can truly be with us. And so the throne of the manger teaches us that Jesus is a king who wants us to know him and be able to relate to him, to understand him and him us. The second throne, where Jesus draws even closer to us, is the one that we hear in our gospel, the throne of the cross. As we well know, there is nothing else more isolating than suffering and death. Not only do we ourselves, when suffering, turn inwards, but when a loved one suffers, we can feel the barrier that it creates between us and them. For we know that as hard as we may want to or try, we cannot take their suffering from them, and they have to bear it alone. Which is why we often avoid suffering at all costs, because of how isolating it is. Which is why it is astonishing that God himself should choose to suffer and embrace and sit upon this throne of the cross. Because unlike us, he is the only human person who has the power to avoid suffering. God is the only one who actually has a choice when it comes to suffer. If he wanted to, he could never experience suffering. But yet God, wanting to be as close to us as possible, mounts this throne of the cross. And by doing so, we can now relate to God when we suffer. Before, we might be able to say, God might have been human, but he was kind of a superhuman. He doesn't really know what it is like to be human, especially to suffer. That's the question that one of the thieves asks. He says, are you not the Christ? You don't have to suffer. Why don't you save yourself and then save us? He cannot imagine a God who would willingly choose to suffer. But Christ wants another barrier between us and himself removed. When we suffer, God draws so close to us, he says, I know what you are going through. I know the pain you are in, for I've experienced it myself. The throne of the cross teaches us that Jesus is a king who wants to be so close to us, he will suffer with us. And the final throne is two thrones that I'm going to be blending somewhat into one. And one is the throne of the bread, the throne of the Eucharist, which is really a medium for the fourth throne. And that is the throne of our heart. For when we receive the Eucharist, Christ sits upon the throne of our heart. And he says, I do not want to reign only in heaven. I want to reign within you. That is how close that he wants to be with us. Which is why we understand that when we walk up to the altar, it is not us who come forward to receive Jesus. It is him who comes down to us. We do not take Jesus, we receive him. For the king has arrived to take his throne, the throne of our heart. The question we can ask ourselves in this moment is then, what throne will he find? Will he find the throne of our hearts like one in the Game of Thrones, one of conflict? Or will he find one of mercy, forgiveness, and love? The throne of our heart teaches us that Jesus is a king who wants to be one with us. He wants to be so close to us that we cannot distinguish ourselves from him. This is the reason Jesus is King of the universe. It is, in fact, not a grand title. It is a humble one, because he occupies the thrones that no other king wants to do so. The manger, the cross, the bread, and the heart. And it is in these thrones that he reigns, not out of force or tyranny, but out of love. A love which makes him want to be as close to us as he possibly can, even if it means sitting upon the most humbling of thrones.